Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of July 3, 2022. This week's sermon is titled The Prayers of a Nation by lead pastor Kerry Yeck.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. You know where that's found? Psalm 118, verse 24. Put the verse together. Put it all together. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. Every day is a day the Lord has made. And we can rejoice in that day no matter what comes up in that day. All right, another fill in the blank. Probably more for you baby boomers. You know what the news is. In a minute, you're going to hear... That's really good. That's right. And what followed that opening was a 30-second commercial. And then the story that took 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Over 24 million, it's huge, over 24 million people in America would hear that every week on 1,200 United States radio stations and an additional 400 Armed Forces radio stations. Paul Harvey made history come alive by bringing to light people and events that had otherwise escaped our collective knowledge. And in every story, there was some key piece of information, usually the name of a well-known person, that was held back until the end of the story. You know there are over 3,000 of these episodes that exist? And for his nearly 6 decades of reporting news, Paul Harvey was given the Presidential Medal of Freedom in the year 2005. This iconic radio broadcaster passed away in February of 2009. Paul Harvey and the phrase, "The rest of the story will forever, forever be linked together." Tomorrow, the vast majority of Americans will celebrate our 246th birthday as a nation. I don't claim to have the skills or the knowledge of Paul Harvey, but I want to share with you the rest of the story as it relates to our nation's history. Because you're not probably going to hear this part of the story in the classroom or on the news, network news. Matter of fact, secularists and progressives today would rather that we didn't know this part of America's story, that it be left untold. But I know, and you know, that Jesus said, if we know the truth will set us free. God spoke through the prophet Hosea so many years ago in the Old Testament, and he declared, "My people are being destroyed by their lack of knowledge." So in just this brief time that we have, I want to share just a little knowledge, a little truth pertaining to the spiritual roots in our nation's birth of freedom. Nuggets that we rarely hear about today. So if you have your outlines, the first point is this. God hears and God answers the prayers of his people for his nation. Prayer has always been an integral part of the human experience. God spoke directly to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and they clearly communicated with God. And then along comes the devil, and the devil lied to Eve about what God had said and what God's intentions were. Eve couldn't wait to share with her husband what the devil had said about God. And where was God when Eve was having this conversation with the devil? What was God doing when Adam and Eve were contemplating who they should believe and what they should do? God was where God has always been. God was waiting for a prayer from these two that they never prayed. God was listening for a request from them. Hey, is it normal that a snake would talk, God? God, how about just giving this snake a whack over the head? You know, whatever. But they didn't ask nothing of God. So without God's guidance, Adam and Eve believed Satan's lies and they sinned. And what happened next? God removed the innocence Adam and Eve had enjoyed. They feared God. They tried to hide themselves with fig leaves from God. Fig leaves? Now, I'll grant you, fig leaves are bigger than most other tree leaves, but how long would it take to sew enough fig leaves together to make a fig outfit that would cover the human body? I don't know. What I do know is that for the longest time, nobody was bending the ear of God except for Adam and Eve. They had God's undivided attention. I mean, who knows how long these two had God all to themselves. And yet at the most critical moment in not only their lives, but really for every human being who would follow after them, Adam and Eve ignored God. They didn't seek his guidance. And as a result, they made the most colossal mistake in all of human history. And then instead of praying and asking God for forgiveness, they try to cover up their sin. They try to hide from God. And here's what's really sad. Instead of learning from their example, all too often we, and I'm including myself here, all too often we imitate their example. So many times we stand at a crossroad. And there we are with decision to make that is going to impact not just our lives, but consequences of which will impact many other people's lives in our families, maybe for generations to come. And instead of seeking advice and counsel from God, we listen to others, or we listen to ourselves. And we make a decision based upon what we feel is right at the moment. I'm telling you, prayer. We can't live without it. Fast forward many centuries. Jesus finds a fig tree with fig leaves on it, but no figs. Why is that important? Because normally this time of the year, the springtime of the year, when a fig tree had leaves on it, there were also figs on the tree. Why was that important? Well, the day before, Jesus had just his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. If you read about that, man, it was a busy day. Cleansing the temple, healing people, didn't have anything to eat. Man, he is famished the next morning, comes along, sees a tree that has leaves upon it, assumes there's figs there, and there isn't. So Jesus seizes the moment to teach a spiritual lesson, and here's the lesson. God abhors those who act religious, but who lack the fruit of relationship with him. Jesus curses the tree, it withers up and dies within a day. The disciples are like dumbfounded. How in the world could a tree like that die so quickly? And Jesus explained to them that here's how prayer and faith work together. If you have faith and you don't doubt, you can tell mountains to jump in the sea and it will happen. Whatever you ask for in faith, you will receive if you don't doubt when you ask. Does that mean we can ask for anything and everything from God? No, because God always factors in our motives, our intentions, our needs, our spiritual growth, the impact of our prayers on other people. He takes a whole lot of things into consideration that I'm not even aware of. So sometimes God says no to our requests, and sometimes God answers our requests with a maybe later for reasons that only He knows. What Jesus promised does mean is this. The overwhelming majority of believers have no idea what God can do because either we don't ask, or because when we do ask, we lack the faith when we ask. Prayer, can't live without it. Great faith plus great prayer equals great results. If prayer can move mountains, then prayer can move nations too, can it not? So let's look at some examples. If you have the Bibles, turn with me to the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. We're told that the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh had capable warriors. We're told in verses 18 through 22, these capable warriors were skilled in combat, armed with shields, swords, and bows. These individuals knew what they were doing. But verse 20 tells us the real reason they defeated their enemies is they cried out to God during the battle, and He answered their prayer because they trusted Him. God was fighting with the people of Israel and against Israel's enemies because the people of God prayed and trusted Him. Turn to me to 2 Chronicles chapter 13. By this time, Israel has been divided into two kingdoms. One retained the name of Israel, and the other was called the kingdom of Judah. Jeroboam of Israel wanted to defeat and conquer Abijah of Judah. Jeroboam's military was twice the size of Abijah's military. In addition, Jeroboam had this great military strategy. He would divide his army up, send some of them around to the back, and they would attack Judah from both the front and the back. The battle commences. The soldiers of Judah cried out to the Lord for help. So regardless of the fact that Israel's forces outnumbered Judah's forces 2-1, regardless of the fact that Israel had this brilliant military strategy to attack from both the front and the rear, verse 18 of 2 Chronicles 13 says, Judah defeated Israel because they trusted in the Lord, the God of their ancestors. 2 Chronicles 14. Asa is now the king of Judah. According to verse 4 of 2 Chronicles 14, Asa commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord, to obey the law and His commands. So when an army from Ethiopia, consisting of 1 million men, 300 chariots, that's a pretty good sized army even in today's standards. When this army advances on Judah, Asa cries out, according to verse 11, O Lord, no one but You can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in You alone. The mighty Ethiopian army was destroyed, verse 13, by the Lord and His army. Why? Because they cried out to the Lord for help. 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat is now the king of Judah. Jehoshaphat is committed to the ways of the Lord. He has the priests of God go around his kingdom and teach the people the word of God. So when a vast army of several neighboring kingdoms form an alliance together and they're going to attack Judah, they declare war on Judah, Jehoshaphat orders the people of his kingdom to fast and pray. And then King Jehoshaphat prays in verses 6 and verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 20, O Lord, You alone are the God of heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking for you to help. You ever been in that situation? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to solve this situation, but I'm looking to you for help. Do you know the people of God didn't even have to fight a battle? The next morning they go out there, and the enemy is lying dead on the ground for as far as the eye can see. I'm telling you, nothing is impossible with God. Prayer is our hotline to the power of God. As we see in Scripture, God responds to our prayers on behalf of Israel. God promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. The psalmist admonished us in the 122nd chapter, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. But Satan hates God, Satan hates those who follow God, and Satan hates Israel. So in November of 2012, when tensions between Israel and Hamas resulted in rockets raining all over the Middle East, Hollywood celebrity Kim Kardashian sent out a tweet to her 17 million followers that she was, quote, praying for everyone in Israel. Simple enough, right? Doesn't seem like that should hurt anybody. Pretty innocent tweet. But it resulted in Kardashian receiving back on her Twitter account vulgar, hate-filled tweets, including death threats from those who followed her. Why? Because Satan knows how powerful prayer is. Satan doesn't want me and you praying for ourselves. He doesn't want us praying for others. He doesn't want us praying for Israel. What does that all mean for you and I today? Point two. God hears and God answers the prayers of his people for our nation. God promised he would bless all nations through Israel. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, came to earth some 2,000 years ago through the nation of Israel. Anyone who follows Jesus, anyone who obeys Jesus' teachings, becomes a new person in Christ with a new purpose and a new focus. Their life is transformed to think and to act like Jesus. And as the influence and the power of Jesus spreads from one person to another person like leaven, Jesus Christ not only transforms individuals, but Jesus Christ transforms marriages. In fact, in the 20 years since Jesus Christ came to earth, he has transformed entire families, he has transformed communities, he has even transformed nations. God blessed in Psalm the 33rd chapter, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In other words, God no longer just blesses Israel if Israel follows him. God blesses any nation. God blesses every nation that chooses to look to God for his help, his guidance, and his power and his leading. And one of the most fascinating things that I've ever done is to study the history, the spiritual roots of those who founded our nation. It's amazing. They knew the Bible like you and I can only imagine. They prayed like we've never prayed before. And their faith, their Christian faith, fueled the fire of revolutionary freedom in America. Listen to me. These were not men of diverse religions. They were men of diverse denominations within the Christian faith. Their knowledge of the Bible was impeccable. Their trust in God was unquestionable. Their devotion to freedom for all human beings was unquenchable. They weren't perfect, but they were persistent. And prayer was a key for each and every one of them. Let me give you some examples, historical examples. In 1746, French Admiral D'Anville, French Admiral, sailed for New England with the stated purpose he was going to reap destruction from Boston to New York and from New York to Georgia. That was why he was coming. The French admiral commanded the most powerful fleet of navy at the time. It included 70 ships and 13,000 troops. Massachusetts Governor William Shirley declared a day of prayer and fasting on October 16th of 1746 to ask God for deliverance from that which was coming. In Boston, Reverend Thomas Prince prayed, and I quote, "Send thy tempest, Lord, upon the water. Scatter the ships of our tormentors." Historian Catherine Bowen wrote that as soon as the pastor finished praying, the sky darkened, winds howled, church bells rang, even though no one was in the steeples. A hurricane ravaged the entire French fleet, with 2,000 of the French soldiers dead, including the admiral, and another 4,000 French soldiers sick. The day belonged to the Lord. God does amazing things in answer to prayer. In 1755, 23-year-old George Washington was a colonel. This time, in 1755, he was a colonel in the British Army. The British and the French were fighting over America as to who could control what parts of the territory. On July 9th, the British force was ambushed by the French, losing two-thirds of their force to casualties. Two-thirds. And so while Washington is riding back and forth, shouting out orders on his horse, the other British officers have all been shot. Two horses were shot out from underneath Washington. Four bullet holes were found in his coat, and yet none of the bullets had pierced him. And later, when writing to his brother John Washington, George attributed his survival to the providential hand of Jesus Christ. God does amazing things in answer to prayer. The first meeting of the First Continental Congress took place on September 5th of 1774. Delegates traveled from as far north as New England, as far south as South Carolina, to Philadelphia. They would discuss how in the world they were going to deal with this growing British opposition. Someone suggested they begin these meetings every day with prayer. Two delegates said, "No, we can't do that." They were opposed because of the diversity of religious beliefs between the Anglicans and the Puritans and the Presbyterians and the Quakers and so on, thinking that would prevent them from praying together. It was Samuel Adams, a Puritan, who stood up and said he would be honored. He would be honored to join with any Christian believer in prayer who loved his country. So the next day, an Anglican pastor came and read Psalm chapter 35, shared some powerful prayers. As he's praying, the Anglicans, including George Washington, knelt in prayer. The Puritans prayed while sitting with their heads bowed. And although there were various methods around the room of people how they were praying, there was a singleness and there was a unity of purpose and heart. And prayer continued to be a daily part of the Continental Congress. A few years later, June of 1987, delegates were sent from every colony to a convention tasked with writing a constitution for this new republic. After 4 or 5 weeks of examining the many models of government throughout history, the constitutions of some of the modern European countries, the convention was still empty-handed. 4 or 5 weeks, nothing to show for. 81-year-old Benjamin Franklin gets up and addresses the group with these words. "In the beginning of our contest with Great Britain, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers were heard, and they were graciously answered. God governs in the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God's notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? Have we now forgotten our powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? He said, I believe without God's aid we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. I beg the prayers imploring the assistance of heaven be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service. His motion passed. That convention produced the finest constitution in all of human history. Prayer results in some amazing things. The Second Continental Congress convened on May 10th of 1775. They requested that George Washington be the one who would transform this ragtag colonial militias, there's volunteers from each of the colonies, into an army that could face the mighty British war machine. Upon acceptance of his command, Washington immediately set out to instill within his troops a genuine faith in God. He believed that to win this fight for freedom, his soldiers needed to feel they were called by God for the task and they were under God's protection. So Washington issued orders that his officers begin every day in prayer with their unit. He forbade all profanity in his army. He personally practiced faith in his own life. In fact, Isaac Potts was a Quaker who lived near Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, when the Continental Army was wintering near Valley Forge under duress in the winter of 1778 and 1778. Potts was opposed to the American war with the British. He was a pacifist. He didn't think Christians should ever take up arms to fight. And then one day, Potts is riding his horse through the woods, and he hears a man praying. He gets off of his horse, ties the horse to a tree, walks farther into the woods, and he sees George Washington on his knee in prayer. And he listens for a while. And he says as a result, and I quote, I had never heard such a prayer from a man before. I left him alone praying, went home and told my wife. We never thought a man could be a soldier and a Christian at the same time, but if there is one in the world, it is George Washington. Governors of colonies, the Continental Congress itself, oftentimes issued days of fasting and prayer, calling the people of America to fast and pray as they went through this. Probably the most well-known example of divine intervention. Follow the Battle of New York. It was August of 1776. They had just declared themselves free and independent from England. 1 month later, Washington correctly calculates the British are probably going to invade New York because of the port that it was and how important it was, how strategic it was. Unfortunately, even though he was there with his troops, the British had so many troops, they outflanked the Americans with thousands more troops than the Americans had. And during the fighting, Washington lost 2,000 of his men while the British lost 400. It was a resounding British victory, resounding. And now the British have Washington's remaining 9,000 troops trapped. There was nowhere to go. It was inevitable. The Revolutionary War was about to be over. And then night fell. And Washington gathers as many boats as he can, and under cover of night, his men are ferried across the East River to Manhattan Island. The only problem is that when the morning light began to shine, many of his soldiers and artillery still had not been evacuated. It was at this very time that a dense fog settled over the area, reducing visibility to less than 6 feet. Not until everyone and everything had been evacuated did Washington get on the last boat himself. And when the fog lifted and the British invaded the American camp, no one was there. Coincidence? Or a divine act from God? Now you decide for yourself what you think it is, but I'm telling you that without that fog, the British would have decimated the American army a little over 1 month after the war began. And now you know the rest of the story.
We don't hear these things in our classroom. We don't hear these things on network news. Because there are those individuals that don't want us turning to faith. Satan does not want us turning to faith. He does not want us praying. I'm telling you, God hears the prayers of his people for his nation Israel, for our nation, for any nation of people that we would pray for. Because God is still at work. And even though we may look and wonder how things are getting so bad, he is still at work. He knows exactly what he's doing. And if there's going to be any lasting and meaningful change in our world today, it will not happen because of a one-world government or a one-world monetary system. Barriers between people today will fall only when our hearts are changed and our hearts are softened. And you and I know the only person who can do that is none other than God himself.
There's a little emphasis there, I guess. So. Boom, boom, boom. Telling you what the world needs today are not more military-trained professionals, but more prayer-trained warriors. And I believe I'm looking at them. So long as we have faith in God and pray in faith, not only can we move mountains, but we can move marriages and we can move nations. Prayer is the key. And we're going to be looking at that the next 2 weeks. It's that important. A couple of assignments. On July 20th, one of the events, family events, many churches in Marshalltown in the area are coming together at the Roundhouse for prayer. You don't see that happen very often. I'm encouraging you to come. Put it on your calendar. In fact, if the Lord lays it upon your heart, I encourage you to fast that day in preparation. And then those little prayer cards there you have on your seats, on your chairs, pray on or write on there the name of someone or two people or however many you can get on there that you need to be praying for. We need to be praying for. We need to be lifting up. Because as we pray for people, God hears those prayers and answers those prayers. And I already see it moving. I already see it happening. Let's pray. Lord, we want you to do something among us none of us can take credit for. I thank you so much for the many ways that you've changed my heart, my mind, my thoughts over the years, how you've broken down barriers. And I know, God, I'm a work. I'm still a work. I get it. But, God, I'm so thankful that in Jesus we become a new creation and we don't have to be the same as what we once were. And there's a whole society, there's a whole world that needs to know that, God. And I don't proclaim to know the best way to go about doing it other than it starts with prayer. Everything starts with prayer. Everything ends with prayer. God, I pray that you would place it upon our hearts, every one of us. I don't care how old or young we may be. Lay upon our hearts, God, to constantly, daily, regularly, throughout the day, come to you in prayer for people, for situations, for our country. Lord, it's an exciting time to be alive.
because we're going to see you move in ways that many haven't seen for a long time. So thank you. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you in advance, God, for calling us into spiritual warfare. We pray these things and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have some names on your card and you want us to pray for them, bring them on over following the conclusion of the service, and we'll have a prayer over there at the prayer wall for anybody who wants to join in at that time. And if you have questions about your spiritual journey, about New Hope, come on over to the patio, and you're dismissed at this time, unless you want to hear me sing a song. You're dismissed.